Well, I want to share a revelation here with you. Several of them that kind of are pointing in the right direction, and it's all about Trump turning the nation to the right, or the Lord using Trump to turn the nation to the right, and the UN vote bringing earthquakes. And the first revelation I want to share with you is about is from Debbie Horton on the 17th of this January. She said, "I told the Lord that I thought that this dream below and the UN vote against Israel meant the chastening quakes were really coming on the nations. And then I cast lots with two quarters with two heads being yes. And the first quarter spun like a top and finally landed on heads. Then I had to crawl on the floor to find the second one because it came to rest standing on its edge underneath and flat against the base of the kitchen cabinet with the head facing out. At first I thought that was too funny, but then it occurred to me maybe the way the quarters landed symbolized the quakes spinning like a top going around the world on edge, and how people were feeling. But anyway, she got the two heads that she asked for, that they were really coming. She said, "I asked for revelation about what the UN is doing or going to do, and early this morning I received a dream." Of course, this was on the 17th, which is one long wordplay on the meanings of counter, C-O-U-N-T-E-R. And also, through the whole dream, there was a song fragment that ran counter to what the dream seems to be saying. And basically, the dream is positive. But there's a fighting against the positive aspects of the dream in that song, as the left is against the right. And I've put in what I can about the meaning, and I think it's saying the quakes have to come in counterpoint to the UN decision, and also that the quakes are for the perfecting of the saints, as David had been saying. Well, I've been saying that this chastening will bring revival. It'll bring the man-child, and it'll bring revival. The quakes will. She said, "I'm not sure about the reference to Islam unless it's a word play on facing the music." Well, Islam is fighting alongside their host against the right. And as the Lord has said, the quakes are to counter the UN decision. The administration didn't get what they wanted, which was an enforceable resolution against Israel. The president being a lame duck, and the fact that Israel and Trump threatened to pull out of the UN may have softened their stance somewhat. However, the nations did make a so-called declaration that they're committed to the two-state false solution, and that Israel must depart from the occupied territories, quote-unquote, except that it's the other guys that are occupying, according to history and according to God. Okay. Well, you know, I thought, is this enough offense here to bring about these earthquakes? But then I thought about Japan and Chile, how they only promised to support the Palestinians against Israel and got terrible quakes. And some have asked the Lord for signs and believe that the quakes are still coming. Could be. Some are asking about the covenant with many. Well, I've seen no signs of a covenant with many, although some dreams that we've received show that it will be under the table. Or it's possible that it could come later. Could be happening now. Could have happened now. I don't know. They'll try to hide it, but I would guess that pretty close to that covenant, the man-child's going to come. And that's just from my ideas of what I see in the scriptures about the timing of the man-child coming. at the beginning of the trib. So, we'll see. Deb said, here are some definitions of counter, quote-unquote, against, contrary, opposite, in opposition or response to, countermand, in reciprocation, counterfoil, counterbalance, substitute, counterfeit. Also, a long, flat-top fixture in a store or a bank across which business is conducted with customers. There's also the meaning of a return blow while parrying. Okay. So here's her dream. I was in the kitchen of our old house that now belongs to our son, Zev. Well, Zev is a Jew whose name means protector. Of course, Jesus is a Jew whose name means salvation, which also includes protection. And, of course, Jesus represents the man-child. And she went on to say, and my daughter-in-law, Shannon, and I believe these could represent the man-child and the bride company, she says. In real life, they are in the process of remodeling it so that they can flip it and go on to build the house that they really want on some acreage that they recently bought in another county. I don't remember anything else about the dream version of the kitchen other than it had an extremely long run of countertop to my right. That sounds good, doesn't it? It was at least twice, if not three times, as long as the counter area is in real life. And there's no way it could ever be that long. We've been waiting a long time, longer than we thought we'd have to wait to do this. Well, I think that the countertop, the extremely long countertop to the right, represents that we're going to be served as a long run to the right after this long run to the left under this administration. Praise the Lord. And I do believe God is going to bring us through victorious. I believe the saints' prayers to overthrow this illegal regime are working. And I believe God has shown that He is thwarting everything that they are doing. Just found a bunch of guns in D.C. In a couple of spots, you know. That was obviously the Lord. And of course, we prayed that they'd find them all. And every other plot, you know, to overthrow this inauguration on this president, etc. She went on to say, Zev was standing in front of me, and we were chit-chatting about history. And my thought was that this is talking about speaking of the past under the long run to the left. She said his story, she puts in place of history. Yes, we love the word. And as we were talking, I looked down at the counter and saw a place where it had been crushed somehow, yet wasn't really obvious unless you looked right at it. Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. I thought to myself that Zev was going to be really upset. He's a perfectionist, especially after all the effort that he already put into the remodeling. And I was debating about being the one to mention it to him. So I reached down to lightly brush my hand against the damaged place, and was surprised to find that the entire counter was covered with some kind of protective layer or sheet. And she puts, Christ is our only protection. And I'd like to add that He is our covering and the one who bore the curse for us all. And she said, when I touched it, it easily pushed back when I touched it. And I thought about how the works of man get us out from under the covering, the touch of man, let me say, get us out from under the covering. And she said, considering how lightweight it was, it should have been much protection, but it did appear that the damage was limited to that layer. And Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And according to Galatians 3:13, he became accursed for us, that we might have Abraham's blessings. So, the covering, of course, is Christ. And he, by the sacrifice of his life, gave us an atonement or a covering. And Debbie said, I was relieved and thought to myself, of course, he knows what he's doing. Zev wrote a book about counters. But out loud I said to him, of course you wrote the book on counters. And then she has in parentheses, the book is the Bible. Yeah, amen. So we pulled off the entire protective layer, and I saw that there was yet another layer there. It seemed to be comprised of a gridwork of chains, which surprised me. But Zev acted as if it were normal and moved on to lift up the grid and hold it over his arms. So, I mean, she has a note. Christ takes away our bondage. Yep, he covers our bondage to sin with that covering, right? She said, after he did that, I could see that the counter was perfect. Well, yes, after removing the chains, we're holy and we're healed, right? And that's really the plan. I know a lot of the church is only interested in being forgiven, but that is not the plan. The plan is the covering and the washing, the cleansing. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness, right? It's the cleansing. People don't want to be cleansed, but you have to walk in the light that you have in order to be cleansed. If you're walking in rebellion and claiming Christ, contrary to Hebrews 10:26, you don't have a covering. Okay? The covering is for ignorance and failure. The covering is not for willful disobedience. Some people have a doctrine of willful disobedience. They think it proves God's grace. It proves God's grace after you repent and believe that Jesus took away your sins. But that does not mean you won't get a whipping. Everybody that walks in willful disobedience has no sacrifice, according to Hebrews 10:26, and they will get a whipping. So, and Deb said, now, all through the dream, in the back of my mind, I kept hearing music and a repeating phrase, from Oh, Very Young by Cat Stevens, who converted to Islam in the 1970s and changed his name to Yusuf Islam. Does that sound like somebody we're familiar with? What I heard over and over was, Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time? Well, Islamic rule from the Obama administration will leave us. Okay. And it went on to say, you're only dancing on this earth for a short time. And, of course, then it's over. And it is a very short time now. And some jumbled version of the chorus that sounded like, you know they never will, and, there's some words missing there, make the goodbye harder still. And I would say that he hates to leave, and is trying by all criminal means to stay, but it's just not going to happen. We believe in our prayers, right? Deb said, when I asked for a word about the entire dream I received by random, John 15:21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. True. Very true. We have seen a left-wing Islamic crucifixion of apostate Christianity's political power so that Christ's power can save. The Lord obviously puts us in a very difficult situation quite often so that we look up to him. And when we learn our authority and we begin to speak it, we begin to come out from under the curse. If you don't think you have any authority in this world over the principalities and powers and the rulers of this darkness, then you suffer a lot more. And some people die suffering because they don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, who took away a sin and its curse. Okay? And we know Pharaoh is going down in the Red Sea, just like the red map of voters showed. It was overwhelmed. It overwhelmed the blue. Amen. She said, I asked for a word about the song and received by random computer, Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed towards his name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. Well, that just reminded me of 2 Chronicles 15:7. It says, but be ye strong, and let not your hands be slack, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa, who is a type of the man-child reformer ministry, heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominations out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from the hill country of Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. You know, I got a word just the other day. I'm going to read it too, because it fits right here very good. Isaiah 14:24 on down. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. Now, if any of y'all read Hidden Manna, you know that I wrote a little history in there about the Assyrians. They were terrorists, like the terrorists that we have nowadays. They just love to do gruesome things, cut heads off and things like that. They were famous for that. And, you know, the sins of the parents are passed on down to the children of the third and fourth generation, right? I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden depart from off their shoulder. Well, we know that this terrorism is not greater anywhere than it is in the White House itself, because we do have a radical Muslim there. And, of course, I'm praying for him. I do hope he'd be saved. He'd be a great attribute to the kingdom. Verse 26, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Because obviously this is a problem all over the earth, and you're watching our right-wing populace coming to power all over. It's purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. This is God doing this. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall annul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who shall turn it back? That's good news to us. We want to see the Lord finish this job, right? He's certainly shown his hand, and I pray that you will continue to pray and do spiritual warfare against the enemies of truth and this very, very left-wing, communist, Muslim attack on not only Christianity, but now we see the Jews, right? And then she also got Jeremiah 31:16. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy, and that's talking about Rachel, refrain thy voice from weeping, because obviously the beast Herod killed her children, who were Jesus' brethren. They were taken into captivity in type in Jeremiah, because they were going to come back out of captivity. So we see that when you compare the New Testament and the Old Testament, where it said they died in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, that was because they were in captivity. They were dead to God. But he said he would bring them back. And of course, this is the faction that's been taken into captivity. They died when they fell into sin, and so on. And refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. So those two verses stuck out to me, you know, about the Lord is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed. He's going to bring it to pass, right? We know that it's not the whole body that really has to do with this. I mean, the body's in rebellion. There's no doubt about that. But the bride is not. And in the book of Esther, it was the bride who impressed the king and got the king's ear in order that she would be used to, she and the man-child would be used to write an edict that would set the people of God free and conquer the world beast that was against them. Okay? They shall come again from the land of the enemy. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for that too. So, that basically says that we're going to have a turn to the right. You know, that'll be awesome. You know, after, you know, going through so many years of this very, very left-wing Antichrist situation. Although God ordained it, you know, I'm absolutely sure the Lord put President Obama in there for that purpose, to bring the chastening. And I think now there's people actually learning how to pray and learning how to act in authority. So it's had a good result. And people interceding for the church, who really does not know what's going on. They really don't know the plot and the scheme of this president to do away with them or convert them and use his troops that he brought into the country to do that. They don't know anything about that. And so they found out about it too late. Remember when the Edict of Haman came down, and then of course Haman overstepped his bound, and the King of Kings took him down, gave his ring to Mordecai, and he and Esther wrote the decree which brought down that company. Thank you, Father. It was a good story. Awesome story. Let's claim it, folks, and let's speak against it. Exercise your authority. Don't just pray. There's people that pray, and they never see nothing. So, I mean, you have to pray and stand and believe and speak it, right? Okay, so here's a revelation that was given to Vanessa Weeks on the 13th of this January 2017. And we called it, The Boat Leaves at 1:26. Okay. She said, I was standing at the counter. There it is. Now, these folks didn't know anything about each other's dreams at all. I mean, I was standing at the counter where I work as a cashier of a restaurant. It kind of fits Deb's dream. A tall man with gray hair came up to the counter. There it is again. He was wearing beige safari pants and safari long sleeve shirt. And I thought that this sounds like the man-child ministry is now dressed to lead a safari into the wilderness tribulation, right? He was looking at his watch, and he said to me, the boat leaves at 1:26. Is that what you heard? And I said, yes. And then I woke up. Well, from what we have received, the first quake is the East Coast quake, and the second is the New Madrid, and the third is the boat created by the quakes that he's talking about here, and the fourth is the West Coast. This could say that the third quake will be on time, because he was looking at his clock, at 1:26:17. I say it could say that. I mean, that's the opinion a lot of people got when they first read this. 1:26 could mean 1:26:17. I don't know. And, of course, 1:20 is the inauguration. So, my thought is, will this be 3 days to the second quake and three more to the third? Because I thought the Lord showed us there was 3 days between the first quake and the second. So that would be three to the third if it was 1:26:17, if, right? We don't know for sure. But waiting until after the inauguration for the chastening quakes would ensure that President Obama would not be able to declare martial law to stay in power, meaning declare martial law because of the quakes to stay in power. Okay? All right. Well, we'll see. We're just, you know, looking for pieces to the puzzle and asking God, and he sends little bits here and there. Praise his name. Well, I asked the Lord to give me a personal revelation on this timing, and I'm not saying this is connected, but I remembered during the same night one of the verses that we received in our morning meeting. Missy got a personal word, Acts 1 and 6, 7 and 8. Let me read it to you. They therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, we know the revival's coming. It's coming with the man-child, isn't it? And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the timing of the crucifixion and death of the Lord is given in the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel, chapter 9. And this appears to represent the timing of the man-child's crucifixion at the first earthquake. And this revelation, though, is about the third earthquake, the boat, right? But remember, the shepherds were given knowledge by the angel on the day the Lord was born. So God does give timing sometimes, but we must be careful when it is put in a parable form like this, because it's meant to be hidden from people. And it's the glory of kings to seek it out, right? And of course, we have to be careful not to jump to any conclusions, because he hides it on purpose, right? The tall man looked at his watch to give timing, right? Which is hidden in a parable form. And it was 1:26, as on a clock, right? So we don't know for sure any more than that. But it seems that people's first premonition there is 1:26. We'll see. We just have to wait and see. Like any prophecy or any other revelation, you wait and see how it works out, right? You might have some good ideas. You might even be dead on, but you still have to wait and see how it works out. And, of course, we see God as sovereign, so, you know, we don't believe anything comes to us by accident, so we begin to look for the inner meanings of all things, right? We believe that. And I'm kind of hoping that there's others out there that have more pieces to this puzzle. That's one reason we share these things, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 to do that. To share them so that other people sitting by may have another piece to the puzzle, you know. Well, Missy said, I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random to help give a piece of the puzzle, and he gave me Esther 9 and 2. In context, 1 through 17. And it may be important, especially the 10 sons of Haman, the 10 New World Order continental divisions stood out to me. Well, when you read this text, it's when Haman's world plot against the Jews, who are also a type of the Christians, failed because the king overruled it. And the enemies of the Jews were taken down. It was quite a Passover. And of course, so far we've been seeing this all the way through. And I think it's still happening. The final results are very close, I imagine. Remember, I told you that they said that they were going to vote on the 17th, but instead they came to their conclusion a day ahead of time, and I said that's what they normally do to put people off guard so that they can't object or mount any opposition or call their senators or whatever, you know. So that happened. And Vanessa said, I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random about this dream and received Ecclesiastes 3:16. And moreover, I saw under the sun, in the place of justice, that wickedness was there. Where's the place of justice? Well, it's the government, right? The evil government that is to be judged. And in the place of righteousness, that wickedness was there. What is the place of righteousness? Well, it's supposed to be the church. But the evil church is to be judged too. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. So the church and the government will be judged by these quakes. And I might say the faction in both the church and the government will be judged by these quakes. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Amen. And then she said she also received Ezra 8:23, in context 8:21-23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a straight way for us, and for our little ones, and for all of our substance. Well, this sounds like our orders from the Lord, doesn't it? To fast and pray for victory at this most important time in history, right? For our children, for our loved ones, seek Him for a passage through this thing, right? For I was ashamed to ask of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them that seek Him for good, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. Are you fasting and seeking God for this? Well, we see here that God is our protector, and we won't need the government's help or protection. Isn't that cool? Okay, here's another thing. This is an interesting sign the other night after we came out of our prayer meeting. We called it 144 now sign. Philip was moving Kurt's pickup truck. Kurt means wise counsel. And he looked down at the truck odometer and it read 144,441. So you see it was 144 coming from both sides to the middle. 144, 144. When you add that all up, it comes up to 18. The date of this was 1/16/2017, which is 18. 18 means life in Hebrew letters. 144 comes from both directions and centers on one point, a convergence at the point. When Philip saw it on the odometer, Convergence means important points coming together at one point of unity. And this could represent the many-membered man-child company being caught up to the throne of authority. They're scattered throughout the world. They know very little about each other. But at some point, they're going to become one. And 144 coming from both directions becomes one, just like this odometer reading. But now, or this point, does not mean this moment. But it could mean now rather than down the road in the spring or the fall, as many are wondering. It could mean that. Time will tell. These are pretty exciting days, aren't they? And the picture that Philip took with his smartphone of the odometer reading and the gas gauge shows that the gas tank is full, meaning plenty of power for the days to come. Isn't that interesting? The Lord does that. He catches your attention. He makes you look at things. And then He starts unraveling the parable to you. Time will tell if we've got it right. Another thing that may point to the man-child now is the parallel between Trump and the man-child ministry. I shared with you once before Eve Brass' dream on 11/11/16, where she was standing in a large press conference room where reporters were seated in chairs waiting for the president-elect to come and give his acceptance speech. And she said people all over the world were cheering and celebrating their victory. I believe it. I believe it. The silent majority, by far, is going to celebrate this. Now, they might be fooling people that they've got the majority, but they don't. Anything like that. The people have seen through this from the beginning. Even people that aren't saved have seen through this. So, the term president-elect is used when he is elected to office, but not yet inaugurated, which we're, of course, coming to. She was expecting Donald Trump to come walking into this press conference, but instead, she was given a glimpse of a parallel universe when David Eales, as a type of the man-child, David man-child reformers, came walking in from the right of the stage with four large bodyguards who we think are angels. But anyway, so waiting for Donald Trump to come in and yet the man-child shows up. And we have seen there is a parallel in man-child types that has to be fulfilled. Joseph was a man-child but had a cooperative government in Pharaoh. And these man-child reformer types advised the physical ruler. Daniel was a man-child type, but had a cooperative government in Cyrus, who was a type of Trump in our day. The man-child body in our day is receiving a parallel cooperative government in our day in Donald Trump and the cabinet. And we see this parallel universe when Pharaoh chased Israel to the Red Sea and died as Moses was baptized unto death and resurrection life to lead the people in the wilderness tribulation. A new Pharaoh was appointed over Egypt because the first one died, which is exactly what happened to the king of Babylon when Cyrus took the government of Babylon. So types begin to merge into a picture, you know. And since there is a parallel the week leading up to Trump's inauguration, it could be that the man-child's week leading up to the resurrection anointing, in other words, crucifixion and resurrection week, comes up to 1/20/17. Don't know. You know, what's happening to the man-child is happening in spirit. And first of all, some people say, well, how has the man-child been crucified? Well, the man-child has been crucified through many Judases and many Pharisees. And that's been happening for a while. But God's going to consider it done very soon. That's what we call the resurrection week, right? And so Eve went on to say that there were about 15 or 20 government agents who represented angels gathered all around the podium waiting for President-elect David to give them their orders. And Matthew 16 and 19 says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we know that this is the key of David, which was given to the bride to rule over the enemy spirits. You know, Jesus' disciples, who John looked upon and said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, right? And the Philadelphia church in Revelation chapter 3, or 2, is it 2? Yeah, 2. In Revelation 2 also. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Behold, I have given you authority, Luke 10 and 19. I have given you authority. And then he says, all, over all the power of the enemy. So we who are the army of the Lord do take our authority and weapons of our warfare to cast down Satan's enemy army. And Satan, we do thwart all of your plans to keep the people of the Lord in bondage. And whatever comes, we stand firm and we speak the end from the beginning, as the Lord taught us to do. Satan, you lose. Your spirits of faction and witchcraft and rebellion and anarchy, they lose in the name of Jesus. And we believe the Lord is smiting those spirits even now. So Cyrus, as a type of Trump, is ordained to rule by God and enter the city of D.C., or Babylon, as the king of Babylon dies. Or he's taken out of office, right? Just as history repeats. So this death could represent the fall of the evil spirits ruling over him. That's what we prefer. And in parallel to Cyrus and his army is the man-child and his army, who are conquering the spiritual forces ruling over the natural forces of the king of Babylon and his underlings. There's a whole story there. Should make a good movie, don't you think? Well, I asked the Lord a question on 11, 12, and 16. I said, will you give me authority, faith, and mercy to take down the faction, meaning in the world and in the church? And I asked for four heads of coins, and I flipped to confirm a yes and received them. Then I picked up my Bible and looked down on 2 Kings 11 and 12. Same address. Remember I shared this with you. Same address. 2 Kings 11 and 12, which was the day that I asked. And then he brought out the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, long live the king. And he showed me when he read this that the address of the verse was also the very day when I read this that I was asking this question, 11 and 12. So I discerned that the time to take authority is now. We can't wait to take authority when the disaster hits, right? And that he is giving us this authority even before the anointing, just as David killed the lion and the bear who threatened his father's sheep. And David conquered Saul before he was anointed for the throne. So we need to take our authority over these principalities and powers. It's not people that are trying to assassinate Trump. It's demon spirits that are doing that to try to keep him from taking office. And by the way, they just poisoned with polonium. Oh gosh, what's the man's name now? I've forgotten. And, of course, I'm sure that that was to try to blame it on the Russians because of that spy that they had that was poisoned with polonium. So, anyway, let's agree together, according to Matthew 18 and 19, and take authority over all the power of the enemy. Remember Psalm 149, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord. By the way, saints, I'm telling you, we just need to start praising God and giving thanks to God for the things that we prayed for. That's the language of faith. We cast down the forces of darkness over the peoples. And we bind you, Satan, witchcraft, slander, anarchy, hatred, railing, murder, arson, assassination, pedophilia, perversion of every kind. And those willing vessels of these spirits are confused and foolish, and their plots revealed before all mankind is what we believe will happen. All their sins are revealed. We command, as we saw, that the assassination of Trump and his cabinet and the man-child with words or weapons are overturned. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, we thank you for your protection for those innocent officers, too, that are out there to defend the people. We ask that the murderers and their supporters be captured and prosecuted. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Saints, the battle isn't over, but it's going to be. So even after Trump gets in there, he's going to have to drain the swamp. And there, we need to keep on praying until they're all out of there. And by the way, pray for the rest of the world, too. It is happening. People are rising up. Right-wing people are rising up around the world because the people have seen what the left does to them. Invades their country, takes away their rights, brings poverty to them, lets sin and corruption reign. So keep on fighting. Keep on fighting and believing. Thank you, Lord. I saw a couple of more countries recently were also having the same kind of revolution that we're having here. So praise God for that. Father, we thank you for your mercy sweeping across this world to give us a good future as concerning the revival and the ability of the man-child to raise up the church once again, raise up the fivefold ministry once again, come against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and cast down their evil hold over the people. Lord, you told us you're going to judge the apostate church and the Babylonish bondage that it has your people under, just as you're going to judge this Babylonish government and the people who are in bondage under it. So we thank you for doing this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to put it in the heart of your saints, the things that you need to be prayed. Just as we mention them sometimes in these revelations, what you really want us to do, your instructions. And so we thank you for doing this, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this right turn, O Lord, which is, no, it's not necessarily holy, but it's much more favorable to Christians and Christian freedom and ability for us to move freely around the country and share the gospel and so on. And also, Lord, we thank you for softening this UN vote, even though you still probably consider it an offense that the countries would lie and steal Israel's historic land. And by the way, same thing here in the United States. What has been stolen from us is our historic land here. And so we thank you, Father, for that parallel. We thank you for the victory you've given us in Jesus. And we cast down the forces of darkness. We say that they will fail, utterly and completely fail, in the name of Jesus. You know, we get together every morning but one And we pray about the things that the Lord gives us in the Word. You know, we each ask the Lord by faith to give us a word by random. And boy, they are awesome. And so when we see what we need to pray, we pray that. And the Lord's been having us do warfare against the forces of darkness in the government and in the church. And we proclaim victory, saints. Victory. And there is going to be a great celebration when this government is ultimately turned over and the military is in the right hands and people set over the CIA to weed out the hirelings in there for the powers that be. And we thank you for that too, Lord. We thank you for making it easy. They say it's going to take a long time to get this turned around, but Lord, you are miraculous. Your power is going forth. You're doing the work, and we praise you for it, and we thank you for it, Father. We just thank you for doing a quick work in the name of Jesus. Amen.